In the year 2001, Pentecost Sunday fell on June 3rd, which was also the anniversary of the death of Pope John the 23rd. And so in his homily at Mass at the Vatican, Pope John Paul II referred back to the example of John the 23rd and some of his writings. And he especially focused on the necessity of giving witness by a holy way of life. He talked about the new evangelization, bringing the gospel into the world, or sort of refreshing the message of the gospel in our world today. And he says, one indispensable element of that is the witness of every Christian's holiness of life. You think about it, Pentecost is the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples of Jesus. It's the breathing of the very Spirit of God into the hearts and souls of believers. Now, we do refer to the Spirit of God, but we usually call him the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of holiness. So all those who have received the Holy Spirit, all those who are baptized, should be characterized by holiness, right? But it seems that we often kind of squirm when it comes to talking about holiness. No one's going to raise his or her hand and say, I'm holy, look at me. And if you're saying, look at me, I'm holy, you probably are. You have some room for growth. But indeed, we are characterized by holiness as God's people, as the church, because his Spirit dwells within us. Now, another obstacle to our growth in holiness, not only, you know, this sort of mindset that holiness is for someone else, holiness is for the nuns that are locked in a monastery praying all day, holiness is for those monks that give away everything, you know, and just devote their lives to God. You know, besides that obstacle in thinking, because we're all called to holiness, another obstacle is that we sometimes think that a life of holiness is set apart from a life of happiness. Sometimes we think that we have to give up happiness in order to really pursue holiness. And that's kind of what the world tells us. The world is offering us all kinds of happinesses, but they are illusory, they are fleeting, they are temporary, they are not really true sources of happiness. I think it would be interesting if they did a study of the wealthiest people in the world. And in their study, if they looked at how happy these folks are compared to those who don't have as much. I imagine the study would show that they're not really all that much happier than the average person. And in fact, in many cases, they may be much less happy than those who have less. They find that they deal with the same kinds of problems that the rest of us deal with. Strife in relationships, illness, grief, all kinds of different problems that money can't solve. So while the world might be telling us, get more money, you'll be happier, the truth is, that's not where real happiness is to be found. What about fame, the esteem of other people? We like to be thought well of by other people. We aren't necessarily seeking fame, but we might find that those who have achieved fame and are very well esteemed by society are not all that happy either. In fact, we hear stories about movie stars who commit suicide because they are deeply depressed and unhappy. We see people turning to drugs and alcohol, thinking that they're going to find happiness there. And sometimes, indeed, drugs and alcohol can numb the pain of this life, but they aren't a source of true and lasting happiness. The world offers all kinds of different get happy quick schemes to us. But when it all comes down to it, what's really going to give us happiness, deep happiness and lasting happiness, is holiness. Growing in our spiritual life, deepening our holiness, that's going to be the greatest source of happiness in life. And we've really got to be convinced of that. We've got to be convinced of that. Not just intellectually, but also in our heart. And when we are convinced that happiness is chiefly found through the pursuit of holiness, then we'll set the world ablaze. We'll realize we've been given the Holy Spirit precisely in answer to the desire for happiness that dwells in the heart of every human being. Every human being longs for happiness. I don't care who they are, they want to be happy. And so the Lord Jesus sends his Holy Spirit into the hearts of his followers. Think about it for a moment. What could be a greater source of happiness than having Almighty God, love incarnate, dwelling within you? God incarnate versus money. God incarnate versus fame. God incarnate versus the esteem of other people. Nothing really compares when we think about it. Holiness and the gift of the Holy Spirit in our heart brings us the greatest joy, the greatest satisfaction, and the greatest peace that could ever be. You know, the church is in the business of making saints. Not only those canonized saints that we've heard stories about, but everyone in the world is called to be holy. Everyone. And those who have already received the Holy Spirit are meant to be a continued presence of Christ in the world. So if we go out and we're bearing witness to the truth of the gospel, we're bearing testimony to the love of God in the way that we live, then by its very nature, that love of God is going to spread, and people will seek that same Spirit that dwells within us. They'll want what we have when they see how we are transformed in joy and peace, and how we can deal with the trials of life in such a way that they don't knock us over. They don't rule us. They don't govern our day-to-day living. But we deal with all those situations in such a way that the love of God and the peace and joy of Christ can still radiate forth. This is what Pope John Paul II was getting at when he spoke about the necessity of the witness of personal holiness. But he also said, you know, if we're called to be holy and called to give this witness of personal holiness to all those that we meet in the world, then we also have to invest in the spiritual life. It's not going to happen by magic that we just become holy. We have to pursue it. We have to invest in our spiritual life. Now we might think, well, sounds a little bit dangerous. Sometimes we think about God calling us to give more of ourselves. We think it's going to hurt the pocketbook. Or we think maybe our family and friends are going to think we're crazy, gone off the deep end, loving God and doing all this religion business. But God isn't really after our pocketbooks necessarily, not directly anyway. And he's telling us, don't worry so much about what other people think about you. He wants our heart. That's what God wants. He wants our heart. He wants our love. He wants to be the sole desire, the ultimate desire of you and me. And when that's in place, all the other things find their proper place. And we see all the rest of life in proper perspective. And so when we're willing to spend a little extra time in prayer, or whatever it means to answer that call of God to go deeper in the spiritual life, when we're willing to answer that call, then we'll find that all the other dimensions of life really do fall into place. This is holiness. Letting the Spirit of God live and breathe within us and direct our hearts and our thoughts and our desires. And what a great gift that is. What a great gift. I didn't say it was easy. The life of holiness is not easy, as any of the saints would tell you. And yet, God gives us His Spirit so that we can carry the burdens of life, so that we can be strengthened in our pursuit of holiness, and through that pursuit of holiness, achieve a joy, a deep and lasting joy and satisfaction in life that all those who know us will also want to have.